welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
With grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just good to be in the house of God just one more time. One more time. I'll be reading from the book of Luke. I think last week we dealt with the Emmaus Road. We talked about it's still I. So this week we're going to jump before that passage dealing with the resurrection. Chapter 24, verses 1 down through verse 8. This is Luke's gospel, the 24th chapter, verse 1 down through verse 8. On this day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found that the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised." And then they remembered his word. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. Think with me from this thought, not what I expected. Not what I expected. We all know the world seems crazy right now. And as we face a global pandemic together, completely with worry, completely with uncertainty, completely with job loss, school closing, and more, and our hearts can feel heavy and very burdened. Now we are even faced with the indecisions of numerous states reopening their economy despite the recommendation of health researchers who are against it. If we are honest with ourselves, life has not always turned out as we have expected. When we are young, we imagine life with great ambition and romance. The fairy tale that was to be our life is shattered by reality. Even the products we purchase through life sometimes do not measure up to what was advertised. Sometimes photographs can be misleading. It is not as large or as shiny as the picture portrayed. Or we don't look as good in it as we had expected. Or it doesn't serve the purpose we initially had hoped for. Many of us have been disappointed so much that we sometimes cushion ourselves so that we won't be so let down when things don't measure up to our expectations. We have adopted the philosophy that says, hope for the best, and expect the worst. Even with thorough planning in advance, things are not always together. Things are always falling apart. Marital ceremonies that were scheduled a year ago are right now in limbo. Significant milestones on the calendar to celebrate, like birthdays and anniversaries, retirement and graduations, are all but postponed or canceled. So as followers of Jesus Christ, how do we make sense of this? How do we find good news in a continual stream of bad news? Again, not what I had expected. The women in our text come to the tomb hoping to finish preparing their Lord's body for burial. Their main concern was who will roll away the stone. But God had solved the problem for them. The tomb was open not to let Jesus out, but to let witnesses in. Y'all didn't get that. The tomb was already open not to let Jesus out, but to let witnesses in. I wonder sometimes how much of our grief, how much our fear and doubt is due to the fact that we have forgot what Jesus said in his word. Well, what did he say, preach? He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes we have forgot, we misplace what he said to us in our hearts. How sad it is when God's people forget his word and live a defeated life. The women in our text were in need of a resurrection. In other words, where the believer would be transformed both morally, physically, with spiritual bodies fit for eternal life. See, these little fleshly, finite bodies that we have, they're not fit to be able to be in the presence of a holy God. That's why we have to die to ourselves. That's why Jesus had to die and be resurrected. And when they came and they touched him, he said, don't touch me yet. I haven't ascended to my Father. Don't put your hands on me. It's almost like where we are in this COVID-19. Don't touch me. Don't get close to me right now. God is doing a great work inside of me. They were brokenhearted. They were confused. Their spirits were in turmoil. They were still reeling and rocking from the events that had taken place several days earlier. Their time with Jesus seemed all too brief. Not only did it end much too soon, but it ended in a way for which none of them were prepared. Sometimes that's the way life is. Life gives us what we're not expecting. It doesn't matter how good you are as a planner. It doesn't matter how strategic you may be. Sometimes we have to allow God to do what God is doing. Our verse of emphasis this morning says, why do you seek the living among the dead? These women came looking for Jesus. They wanted to minister to him, but because they lacked understanding, they were looking for Jesus in the wrong place. Luke tells us he's not the God of the dead, but he's the God of the living. See, John's gospel said the word was made flesh and it dwelt among us and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, many of our lives have been spent looking for Jesus all in the wrong places. Sometimes we have a tendency to lock Jesus in at the church as being the only place we can find him. And if the truth is told, when Jesus found us, it was not necessarily at the church, was it? We need to stop looking or focusing so much of our time and energy looking for Jesus in a single place. God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts to cry, Abba, Father. I'm so glad that Jesus did not limit his search for me just to the church only. For I know he is omnipresent. And omnipresent means that he is everywhere at the same time. I don't know a God that can be everywhere at the same time. That means that when I'm at home, he can also be with you. When you are in the church, he can be wherever you are. And those of you that are on the telephone line, even though we're in the sanctuary, God is with you because he's omnipresent. He can be everywhere at the same time. That's why the Great Commission tells us to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The resurrected Christ is evidence that trouble don't have the final word and new life is possible. See, death is not the end of the story. Even when the forces of death declared the end, Jesus victoriously responds. God raised Jesus from the grave, and Jesus lived by the word of God. For as the Father had life in himself, so has the Father given to the Son to have life within himself. Christ's resurrection shows that his experience is independent and everlasting. The resurrection proved that Christ was divine. The resurrection proved that Christ has power to forgive sin. The resurrection revealed Christ's power over death. The resurrection defeated God's enemy. The resurrection of Jesus Christ affirms to us that he is indeed the Son of the living God, just as he claimed he was. Only through a raised Christ is it possible to have a relationship with God. Yes, I must admit, we do live in a Good Friday world, remembering the day that Jesus willingly suffered and died by crucifixion as the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. But we also walk by a resurrected faith, a faith which proclaims that he rose again. He got up on the third day with all power from heaven and earth in his hand. What do we expect when we come to church? Do we expect to simply hear an old story, see our old friends, sing an old feel-good song, like the women who came to the tomb on that first day of the week? We can receive so much more than we can expect. Christ's resurrection means hope for deliverance for all. Christ's resurrection is the deliverance in the face of death. We too are just like these women in this same clueless condition, muddling around, struggling bravely, making little decisions with big consequences and big decisions with uncertain information, trying our best, giving our all, guessing, second guessing. And among the many enduring lessons of the resurrection, one of the most powerful is this: when the word of God is fulfilled in our lives, it is always better than expected. When the word of God is revealed in our lives, it's always better than expected. Come and see, go and tell is the resurrection mandate for the church. That is good news, because often our expectations fall short of what we have visualized and prepared for. These women who had come to the tomb with low expectations returned to the disciples and other believers, which was much more than they had expected. I'm reminded when the prodigal son left the hog pen, the most he hoped for was to receive his father's home blessing as he went back home. To be a servant, that's all he wanted. Instead, he received restoration in his father's arms. In other words, he received much more than he had expected. When the early church gathered in the upper room, they expected to receive the promise of the Father, but had no idea what would happen. They received the indwelling of the presence of God. They receive individual tongues of fire and the anointing to speak in other language. They too receive so much more than they had expected. The same day Jesus was on the road to Emmaus, He encountered two disciples talking about the event that just transpired. He walked alongside of them. Luke states their eyes prevented them from recognizing him. But once Jesus assumed his position at the dinner table, the Bible says, and when he had took the bread and he broke it and he had given thanks, the scales of their eyes were open. In other words, they received so much more than they had expected. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the son of a Baptist preacher, expected to become a church pastor. He never expected to be a Nobel Peace Prize winner. He never expected to be the 20th century prophet of social justice. He never expected to have a national holiday named after himself. Since he endured so much to do God's will because he trusted the word of God, he still received so much more than he expected. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. In other words, whosoever believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. I'm done, but I got to tell you a story. I'm reminded of a woman who had to make a return in her favorite retail store. She had her original receipt and the original package with the doll in the box that it came in. In the line in front of her was a lady who was also making a return. She too had a doll. It was not in the original package. Matter of fact, the doll's arm was just hanging out of the box. It was clear to her that the doll had been used or damaged. The woman thought to herself, she said that they would never take that return back, not in such terrible condition. But much to her surprise, they took the doll back in spite of the condition it was in. That day, the woman discovered something about her favorite retail store policy. They would take items back regardless of its condition because they affixed a sticker on the product to remind them that the product still belongs to them. No matter what the condition, they will always take it back. Well, what are you trying to say, preacher? We serve a God who takes us back. Despite our condition, we too have a sticker that says, I belong to Jesus. I belong to him. He's the owner of my soul. Yes, I belong to him. His name is connected to us. And because we're connected to him, he's able to restore us in spite of our condition we may find ourselves in. Sometimes the church, we come with a different expectation of what we want God to do for us. But like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Paul said three times I pleaded with him to remove this thorn from my flesh. But God says, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. David was forced to flee the country. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He said, my soul shall make her boast unto the Lord, and the humble shall hear and be glad thereof. It's not always what they expected, but a change take place. Nevertheless, I just stopped by to tell somebody, no matter what life deals you, God already knew. God knew that this day we would be where we are. He knew the people that would be here, and he said that that's okay. He said, because I'm trying to get some attention now. I done allowed y'all to do your own thing for a long time. He said, now I want you to recognize that I'm God. He said, I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly all that you ask or think. It may not be what you expect. He said, but I had already wrote it in the book. And I'm waiting for somebody to give their life to Jesus Christ. He said, I'm waiting. I'm patiently waiting. And he said, those of us that know the word, we know better. So today is the day. So with every head I bow, every eye closed. If you don't know Jesus Christ and pardon your sin, even though you're on the phone, even though you're on the device, we want to extend an invitation to discipleship. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, he says salvation is yours. We don't have to look for Jesus no more. If you look in the tomb, he's not there. If you look on the cross, he's not there. Where can I find him? Look inside of your heart. He's always been there. That's why he said that once I leave, I'm going to leave you something special. It's more profitable than you can ever imagine. It's the indwelling of the Spirit. He said, I want you to bring that thing up and just let it blow your mind. Is there one on the phone that won't accept Jesus Christ? Now it's your time. All you have to do is just confess. Is there one? We're not talking about church membership. We're talking about discipleship. We're talking about a relationship. As they sing, is there one? God is stirring up.